Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Brad Dacus. Brad Dacus is the president of the Pacific Justice Institute, and we're going to get an update on a terrible law in California that we talked about a year ago related to the subject of abortion and specifically targeting crisis pregnancy centers. Brad, welcome back to Vocal Point.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be on the program. Appreciate it.
Sure. Okay, so for those not familiar with the law, tell us about the law, and then we're going to ask you for an update what's happened in the last year.
Oh, you bet. This law, known as AB 775, would mandate that every pro-life pregnancy clinic in the state of California actually promote abortion by having them post a large sign, telling women when they come into their clinic where they can get a free or low-cost abortion and the phone number to call.
Okay, and this law was slated to go into effect, which it did, unfortunately, in the year of our Lord, 2016, starting at the beginning of the year, January 1. What has happened since? I know you've been fighting it legally. You've been fighting it in the courts. What's going on?
Yeah, we at Pacific Justice Institute attempted to get an injunction unsuccessfully, went up on appeal to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. We fought it there unsuccessfully. Then we filed a petition for a broader review by the Ninth Circuit, en banc review. That was just came down just a few days ago and let us know that was not accepted for review. So now we at Pacific Justice Institute are working very diligently to prepare to file a petition for certiorari to the United States Supreme Court. This is a very, very important case that I think has a very good chance for the Supreme Court to take up for two main reasons. One is the fact that it's dealing with serious free speech rights of private religious ministries to not have to advocate something that goes totally against their purpose and their mission for existing, much less their religious beliefs. And second, there's already case law back east and other courts striking down similar mandates like this against pro-life pregnancy clinics. That conflict of case law puts us in a very right position to be taken up by the United States Supreme Court.
Okay, what was the legal term that you used a moment ago, like certificate or something like that?
Or petition for certiorari, that's just a fancy name for saying an appeal. So whenever you're to bring something to the Supreme Court, generally speaking, it's a petition for certiorari when you want the Supreme Court to take up a case to review it and potentially reverse the lower court opinion.
Okay, now I understand that the state has come down at least on a couple of the crisis pregnancy centers that refused to comply, and that's in Los Angeles. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, the state is giving no grace and mercy here with regards to these pregnancy clinics, and is making it very clear to them that they must comply with this mandate, or they will be shut down. And there is no wiggle room. There's no room at all for mitigating it whatsoever. So it's very, very concerning. Literally, these pregnancy clinics up and down the state of California that are just lovingly, benevolently trying to help women in crises make responsible, healthy decisions regarding their unborn and their pregnancy, they are given no latitude, and they're in a very terrible quagmire of continuing their very important work and yet compromising their work in a very grotesque way, or standing by their principle and shutting down themselves or being forced to be shut down, at the same time knowing that they're going to be sacrificing the opportunity to fulfill a real need for women up and down the state of California. And mind you, if we're not successful in stopping it here, this is something that will be brought in blue states and then eventually red states up and down the United States to try to shut down pregnancy clinics that are really providing incredible alternatives statistically to groups like Planned Parenthood.
You know, by the way, on another matter, well, it's not another matter. I had read just recently that since 1991, 76% of the abortion clinics that were open in 1991 have now been been closed. So the momentum really is towards the pro-life, but you wouldn't always know it. How many crisis pregnancy centers are there in California? About.
I don't have the exact number, but I know it's roughly five times the number of abortion mills, like Planned Parenthood. And that's one of the reasons why I think groups like Planned Parenthood and abortion mills like them have pushed so strongly to have this kind of legislation, because they see that their numbers are going down. The number of women per capita choosing to have abortions versus other alternatives like adoption or, you know, have the child, they're going down, down, down. And, in fact, nationwide per capita, I understand that abortion is now as low as it was back in 1973 when Roe versus Wade became the dominant law of the land. So this is partly a desperate attempt by these abortion clinics to increase their business and increase the number of abortions that they can help facilitate and profit from in the process.
Okay, of the crisis pregnancy centers in California faced with this dilemma, do we comply with the law, do we not? Have some of the clinics said, okay, well, we're just going to go ahead and post that we don't like this law, but we would rather operate and still minister to these people, even if we have to do so under such circumstances? Have some complied?
Our understanding is that that there may be a few that have chosen this route, but the majority are saying no, and they're just waiting for the government to come and shut them down. We're hoping that
they're waiting for the legal action on your part and other groups or whatever. They're waiting for relief and reprieve on the law.
Yeah, and I think that's really I think you hit the nail right on the head. Their goal isn't inevitably just to wait to be shut down. Their goal ideally is for us to get the legal relief that they need through this our litigation. And we at the Pacific Justice Institute see this as very high stakes, not just for the pro-life movement and ability to help to minister to women in crises in a truly benevolent, loving way, in a responsible way, but also we see this as an expanse of the attempts of government to try to imperil the free speech rights of ministries in general. I mean, basically what the state of California is saying is to these pregnancy clinics is, yeah, you have free speech to say whatever you want, so long as you also say this. And then they hand them this mandate. And they could, if they get away with this with regard to these pregnancy clinic ministries, then the door is open for them to try it in on other ministries and churches and synagogues as they see fit and as their social, moral, or immoral mandate may seemingly necessitate.
Give us an analogy of a different field, what this law is like.
Another example of another ministry, what might be, for example, let's say you have a church, and this church is one that only allows heterosexual couples to go on marriage retreats sponsored by the church. Well, the government could say, you know, this is discrimination, and we need to protect people from being emotionally abused and whatnot. So we're going to mandate that all churches that have this as a matter of policy, or who discriminate in their hiring of clergy in this regard, that they have to have a large sign posted in front of their church saying that this church discriminates based on sexual orientation in its hiring of clergy, or in terms of allowing people going to marriage marriage retreats. And that kind of stigmatization is already being enforced against all the Christian colleges and universities in the state of California with regard to a different law that is already in effect, just went in effect this last year with regard to the hiring of professors, and it's attempted to stigmatize Christian college universities in the same way that they could apply it to churches and synagogues and other institutions. So this is not just dealing with pregnancy clinics. This is a broad-based strategy to stigmatize and silence and isolate any religious institution that does not comport with the leftist agenda, extreme leftist agenda of the California legislature.
Okay, what is the goal of the California legislature when it comes to this specific law related to the abortion or the crisis pregnancy centers?
Oh, twofold. One is to hopefully shut down crisis brings, he said.
Well, I mean, obviously they don't say that. What is their justification? What do they say their justification is?
What is their justification? Their justification, their argument, is that that women who go into these clinics, you know, that they may get counseling and not be aware of the opportunity to have an abortion. They may not be aware of this choice, that it exists. They may be have the impression that this is the only clinic in town, and that abortions don't exist in their town. So, which is a total nonsense. Women know what abortions are. They know their legal right under the present law to have abortions. So it's really a false justification with their real goal, which is to either A, shut down crisis pregnancy centers, or B, reduce their business by compelling people while they're in the waiting room to have this large sign letting them know where they can get a free abortion and hopefully change their mind.
Okay, now, you're in kind of a dilemma in some ways, or actually the crisis pregnancy centers are in the dilemma, while waiting for the U.S. Supreme Court, which may or may not even, you know, decide to take up your appeal, whatever the fancy word for it is, they're kind of like defying the law, I guess. Would that be like in being in contempt of court? How would that work?
You're right. They're not complying with the law, and they're doing it on the grounds that their First Amendment rights under the Constitution are being violated. In the event that the courts declare that their rights are being violated, then none of them can in any way be punished or prosecuted or fined for any past noncompliance with this law. If, however, for some reason we are not successful, and I think in the end we will be, then if we're not successful, then there is a price to be paid, and that these institutions could be fined or shut down.
Boy, it's time to dust off Martin Luther King Jr.'s letter from a Birmingham jail, you know, where he talks about civil disobedience, but he talks about how when man's laws violate God's laws, then we have to obey God's laws, not man's laws. He's just basically paraphrasing what it says in the book of Acts. You know, it is better to obey God rather than men.
Absolutely. That's really, I think, the question that every Christian really needs to be asking at the end of the day is you know, what law is the higher law? And when it comes to protecting innocent babies, unborn children from being killed, I think that that's a very applicable quote that definitely deserves being taken seriously in this situation.
Okay, anything further you want to say about this? What's your website for more information?
Yeah, if people would like to keep up with this litigation as well as our many other cases, I encourage them to go to our website, PacificJustice.org, 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 and we'd love to keep people updated with our many cases, with our Legal Insider update, et cetera. And I appreciate you highlighting this very, very important pending litigation.
Sure. Thank you so much, Brad Dacus, again, the president and founder of Pacific Justice Institute. The website is PacificJustice.org. Brad, thank you so much. God bless you now. Bye-bye.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.